The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
This episode of Beyond is brought to you by forhims.com, forhims.com.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 Wow, that was so nice. That was such a nice, soft, gentle, no-stress intro to the show. Welcome, everybody, to Beyond, episode 546. There will be lots and lots of shouting very soon. My name is Max Scoville. I'm joined today by Alana Pierce.
Hi.
Tina Meany.
Hello.
And Jonathan Dornbush.
Beyond.
Now, the reason there will be shouting is that we are coming up on E3 pretty fast. Like, if we were a space shuttle entering sort of an atmosphere, I think parts would be falling off, and there would be, like, fire on the side of the thing. But I think we're all looking forward to it a fair amount. It's the time we all come get together and shine and have a good time with all that. So that being said, there will be no Beyond next week, but there will be like 55 hours of live stream stuff coming through IGN. So please tune in for that and don't tweet at us going, hey, where's the Beyond? We're going to do like a Sony pre and post show and all that and lots of other interviews. It'll be very exciting. And then a little while after that, we're going to be having an actual live in-person Beyond thing to kind of coincide with the Kind of Funny prom that's happening. It is going to be IGN Presents Beyond Live. It's going to be on June 29th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can get tickets on beyondlive2018.eventbrite.com. And this will be at our office in San Francisco. Tickets are $15 because we have to get security, because I'm not joking. We had a tour of the office and somebody stole the security guard's jacket.
Oh, I still find that so funny.
And they had to go through the security footage and be like, who took Jerry's jacket?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably a cool jacket, though.
It was pretty sweet. Okay. You look like a security guard, which is sort of like a cop. but anyway, we'll be doing an IGN Q&A panel and an industry experts panel with Per Schneider, IGN's founder, and a bunch of other friends of his, wizards, I'm told. And then we'll do 550 live.
Wizards, I'm sure.
And finally, for housekeeping, Brian had his kid. Brian Altano, who was usually on the show shouting over all of us, he went and had a baby. So go and congratulate him. He's Agent Bizzle on Twitter, you know, Brian Altano on Instagram, whatever. Anyway, without further ado, yes, E3 is around the corner. I want to talk about this. We will be doing a lot of, you know, expectations and predictions and speculation. And dear Lord, we put so much. I was like, let's keep this a nice tight show.
I'm sorry.
We've got a short week.
And then
Alana
happened.
Yeah, Alana went all.
I just really like video games.
And pre-E3 is such a quiet time. We really had to stretch.
I think it's like good for us to get on top of all the rumors and everything that's happening, you know, because we're not going to have an episode next week. And then it's just going to be, oh my God, all these video games here.
That's fair.
Front load all the content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I like that. So interestingly enough, Sony has pretty much been very transparent about what is coming in their show, like in their big press event. They've said that they're specifically going to be focusing on, for first party stuff, it's going to be Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us Part 2, and Death Stranding. And it makes it sound like there's not going to be any first party surprises, but there will be obviously third party and indie stuff. Mm-hmm. Sean Layton said there will be no hardware stuff, no hardware reveals. So I don't think we should expect like PlayStation 5 announced or anything like
no
that.
No Vita 2.
Yeah. but that being said, they're also like, they're going to be doing this kind of like advent calendar approach where they are, they're going to be revealing something every day, starting on Wednesday, leading up to their big E3 conference.
Which is the best. This was announced this morning. We always miss the news on this show.
Yeah.
The best that we've had.
We're actually on time.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No. I was like, oh, finally.
Yeah, I always love looking forward to the PlayStation Tuesday news drop. I know. Because I feel, before I've been on much, I felt bad every time. I'd be like, well, I have to write the story. Like, can we just edit that in?
Yeah.
But yeah, now we actually know.
It's cool. And this is interesting. They're announcing three games this week. One is a PSVR game. One of them has PSVR compatibility. And one of them is just a PS4 game. So we have no idea what they are so far.
Yeah, and there's, what is it, a release date for an upcoming Worldwide Studios title.
That's got to be Days Gone.
Or Dreams.
Yeah.
Or Concrete Genie.
Dreams, but I'm still holding out for the, and it's out right now thing, and I'm hoping that that's Dreams.
Oh, and there's also an eagerly anticipated game comes to PSVR, whatever that means. That could mean a game that already exists on other VR, but is coming to this. Anyway.
Yeah, is it anticipated for VR, or is it anticipated to come out at all?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway,
that's a weird one.
You can go and check that out. That's all on the official Sony channels and everything.
And this will, they actually tweeted out, this will actually be replacing the pre-show that they did last year. So last year, it caught us off guard as we were covering the conference. There was like five announcements right before the actual conference.
Wasn't that where they announced Concrete Genie?
I believe, or no, that was PSX. They might have announced it, but PSX was where they showed it off.
They showed it off.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was PSX. But that was where they did like Undertale on Vita and the PlayLink stuff and things of that nature.
And
so
that's like the quickest way to bury an announcement.
Yeah.
Put it right before, hey, here's, you know, like Last of Us 2 or whatever.
Yeah, it came all in a flurry right before all the big stuff. So this spaces all of that out. So if it's stuff that may have not gotten a spotlight, it's nice that things will actually this time around.
Yeah, and this is following kind of a pattern we've seen across really the industry is the kind of having more lead time with announcements. Like obviously some of these came from, you know, like leaks, like Rage 2 leaked and then, you know, got subsequently a trailer. And then we got
Assassin's Creed leak.
It was a keychain this time. The keychain was the culprit. Yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And then there's, I don't know, there's a whole like press event for Pokemon stuff to be like, hey, this is on the way, which is cool because obviously E3 is becoming a public event for fans. So if you know, you're trying to plan your show trip, like that gives you an idea of what you want to go check out as opposed to it being this sudden sort of, you know, reveal surprise.
My theory is everyone just wants less work during E3.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean,
it is a busy week, but
it's also, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh,
I was just going to say it also helps in terms of each game getting its own spotlight, like rather than everything being buried on one single day.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Each game gets to have their at least 24-hour news cycle. Now it's like 4-hour news cycle, but you still get a little time in the spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, like E3 is a pretty stupid event. We have the internet. We can, I mean, like there could be, every studio could be doing sort of a Nintendo Direct approach where they're like, hey, we have some stuff to announce. That'll happen soon. Like, you know, set your calendars, mark them accordingly, and then they own the news for that week or that day or whatever. Instead, we're still kind of chasing this model where E3 is like, here's the thing that happens in June to announce everything that comes out in November. Go.
I don't think it's going to last that much longer. Like, you know, EA pulled out. Microsoft's booth this year is mostly Mixer rather than Xbox. Activision, I think, have pulled out almost entirely. So it's like, I don't think E3 lasts forever the way that it has been, and that's why it's open to consumers. But to your point, which is what I was going to say earlier, is it's kind of crazy that tickets are so expensive and they don't even know it's going to be there.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
will go in and I check mean, it out.
I think the ESA, like, I think it's cool that it's opened up to fan. I think the ESA did not do a good job of, like, explaining to anybody what that entails, you know, whether it's fans or to publishers or to, you know, the industry. Like, it's sort of, it's a weird, I think it's really cool to have sort of a American component to Gamescom, and PAX obviously has its huge following.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to adjust to that. You have to plan for it. You can't just be like, hey, we're opening the doors to, you know, 70,000 people. Come on in. You know,
hopefully this year is a little more structured. And yeah, of course, we'll all be running around like crazy, but come say hi. Our booth is like kind of more open this year, so you can watch us doing dev interviews on the live show and stuff like that,
yeah.
which I'm actually pretty excited about.
Yeah.
I think we're all doing some of those, so you'll be able to come by our booth in the West Hall, question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all. Yeah.
Thank you.
Speaking of things in the West, we got details on a Red Dead Redemption special edition this morning. Obviously, we still don't know a whole lot about this game. We know when it's coming out. It comes out in September. All these other games are probably, you know, terrified if they're anywhere near it, because that's going to be a huge, massive game. But we haven't seen gameplay.
Apparently we have. When I spoke about this on the show, 2 weeks ago? It was longer ago than that. I don't even... This past 2 months has just
been
disappearing.
A blur.
I got an email from Rockstar, and they were like, you complained about that. It wasn't aggressive in any way, but it was like, you know, you mentioned that you didn't see any gameplay and that you really wanted to see it, and they were like, well, you actually did see gameplay. We just had the HUD turned off. So it is... The trailers have been gameplay. It just looks like cinematics because the games look so good.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and like it's shot in like GTA Movie Maker. Or
pretty
whatever.
Much.
Yeah, they probably moved the camera around.
Yeah.
The HUD and everything.
Well, yeah.
Or
they literally...
moving through those
yes.
gameplay moments.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the part where you're crawling to get to someone who's in that like burning house. That's a gameplay
moment
for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of it was actually a surprising amount.
But as far as like what it actually looks like in the game when you're doing stuff, what your I don't know, what your skills and everything, what your abilities are, how it plays is sort of a mystery still. And we kind of got some hints from that in the special edition details. Alana, you want to talk about this? You have some theories.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of additions. What we're seeing on the screen right now, if you're watching the video version, this one's worth mentioning, is the collector's box, which is mostly physical merch, doesn't come with the game. Crazy. But it's just fun stuff that you can collect. They also have the special edition, where you get a bank robbery mission, a gang hideout, in story mode, a racehorse, and gameplay boosts. And one of those, I believe, in the special edition is tied to boots that will give you some kind of boost. So this implies that there are going to be some kind of RPG mechanics in Red Dead as you play through the single player. I don't know if it'll apply to online or if it'll just be single player, but you know, what they did have in the last one, they had items that you could use to like replenish your Deadeye and to replenish your health, obviously, but I'm wondering if we'll get way more outfit-based things that will give you a lot of stat upgrades, which I guess like kind of in a way that they used to do it with more like San Andreas styles, like go to the gym for 3 hours and you'll improve your stats, like maybe more explicit than they were in GTA 5. One thing that's really interesting is, I believe it's the Ultimate Edition. There are a bunch of editions here. That's the $100 edition. You get a survivor, a camp for online, meaning that I think that camps will function. We've kind of read about how they'll function in the story mode, but online, I'm wondering if they'll function like an apartment does in GTA Online, in that like you call, what's it, the guy whose name starts with an L in GTA?
Lamar?
No.
I don't remember.
It's the man that you call and you're like, give me a car. And then he like delivers your car. I don't remember what his name is. But I'm wondering if that'll work like this. Like you'll be like, oh, I want this horse that has this amount of speed, and then it gets dropped at your camp. And that's
I don't know how you'd call him. You just shout real loud. There's no phone.
Like, I guess you'll probably go to some kind of outpost where you like you know, make a transaction, or it's pigeons.
Well, generally speaking, they said they wanted to make horses more realistic too. So if you're out, not at like your campsite, if you can call and you can whistle for your horse, but it has to be like kind of within earshot. So you can actually like lose your horse, and it's supposed to be like building a companionship with your horse and building a bond that it then affects gameplay. Like the more that you ride with one horse, the more it becomes like in tune with you and less scared of the environment.
Well, one of the things that comes in every pre-order is the war horse, which was in the first game, which is just a real fast horse. Yeah. It's just real speedy.
Great movie.
Real fast, lots of stamina.
I'm wondering if there will be horse races in Red Dead Online, too, that depend on like what your horse stats are.
I want that in the vein of chocobo races. Nice. Just like random obstacles like and stuff. Yeah.
But like combine it with Most Wanted, so it's like hardcore stats. Like just
it's got to be kind of a bizarre step down, especially after like you look at GTA Online and there's like this massive, massive like range of vehicles you can get in. But then they're like, all right, now horses. They come in many different colors. They can go different speeds.
Yeah, can you put like flame decals on the side of your horse? Like, how much can you pimp your ride there?
You probably get brands. I feel like.
Yeah.
No. As far as that turned this from like a sweet story with your horse to a horrible torture.
You can't put rims on the wagon, though. You know, there's going to be like four kinds of wagon wheels, and like the steel ones will be the fastest or whatever. But
new
horseshoes.
You can get spikes on them, you know, to get enemies off your back.
Ooh, yeah.
They're still trying to keep it realistic, though. You know, that was really more of a Roman centurion thing. But no, I mean, this is it's interesting to look at this, and obviously, you know, they still got to make money, and they will.
Yeah, they've got some location-based stuff as well. There's a puzzle that comes with the collector's edition that seems to imply a location. I asked one of our wiki's editors, John Ryan, to, like, you know, do a deep dive into what all this stuff actually means. But it does seem like there's some more RPG elements than I would have expected, and I really just want to know how they're going to work on GTA. Red Dead, rather. Red Dead Online, which I also think this kind of confirms that a lot of the terminology says, like, you will get this in online, meaning I think it's probably going to be called just Red Dead Redemption 2.
I think almost certainly. Yeah, yeah, especially with, like, the cachet that GTA Online has as a phrase. I think to not call it probably Red Dead Online, like, forget the Redemption, just Red Dead Online, like, flows naturally and makes sense as a title. Like, to call it Red Dead Redemption 2 Online would not
No one's going
to
type that.
Yeah.
Nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm really interested in is that the special edition gets a bonus bank robbery mission. And bank robberies have always been like my favorite missions in pretty much every Rockstar game.
Yeah.
Like I would always have a save point just to be able to replay the bank robbery mission. So it's like, hope that that's not just exclusive to pre-orders though. Like I hope that we can still get other bank robberies.
It might be downloadable like down the line, or they may do like a sequence of them.
Yeah.
Especially if like bank robberies at that time would be such like a popular thing. Like you in your head would want to experience the bank robberies at that time sort of thing.
Yeah.
I could see those being playable missions that might be available.
Or it's
available
just train heists all the time. Because that seems
that also sounds cool.
Yeah, I would be down for that.
Train heists and bank robberies.
Yeah.
Seeing that like the GTA heist model applied to Red Dead sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about, you know, getting the posse together and doing all that.
We interrupt this program to bring you a brief message from Hims, a new wellness brand for men. Here's a not so fun fact. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and by the time you start to notice hair loss, it's usually too late. It's generally easier to keep the hair that you have than to replace the hair that you've lost, so why not do something about it? 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and other stuff like that that might be embarrassing to deal with in person. Luckily with Hims, there's no waiting room, no awkward doctor's visits, and you can save plenty of time by just going to a website. Hims connects you with real doctors and gives you medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss and other possibly embarrassing problems. And this isn't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements either. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. If this sounds like it would help you out, order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details, but this would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or to a pharmacy. So just go to 4hims.com/beyond. That's forhims.com/beyond. Once again, that's 4hims.com/beyond. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
In other sort of recent news, in a timely fashion, Capcom... oddly enough, registered a Devil May Cry 5 domain name. What a curious thing to do.
Just right now.
Days before E3 begins. What could that possibly mean?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all.
But yeah, so that's, I mean, obviously Devil May Cry is, they did that one, the DMC.
DMC.
And everyone which I actually liked.
I liked it a lot, too.
Me too.
Yeah.
I gave it the lowest review score in Australia, but I still really liked it. It was a 7.5.
Wow.
Not even that low.
That's a fine score.
He always mad at me.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah that's a, like a rent don't buy or whatever. But yeah, I mean, everyone was mad about his haircut. And he didn't, it's like, I feel like they, like, both versions of Dante look like dorks at this point, if you look at them. But obviously people want to know what's kind of.
I imagine they will go back to call Dante for this, which I think will be really cool. And it means that they can, like, have that old lore that we all got more attached to rather than the reboot series, which didn't have so much of that. But yeah, this was registered by GMO Internet Group rather than Capcom, but they register a lot of domains for Capcom. And the same company also recently updated the Resident Evil 2 domain name, which is much more exciting to me. Love Devil May Cry, but we've been asking about this Resident Evil 2 remake for, I don't know, 2 years straight? And it seems like we'll finally get updates at E3, and I imagine this is on Sony's stage.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty safe bet. They also said, Capcom said in, I think, an earnings call a while ago that they aim to launch 2 major titles before March 2019. And this seems like a pretty safe bet if that's what they're going with. Those are 2 of their kind of flagship titles. Moving on, this happened last week, but real quick, wanted to talk about Fallout 76. One of the many games that was sort of getting, like, you know, a little bit of a head start on E3, jumping the gun a bit. Alana, you wanted to talk about this because Fallout?
Yeah, I just love Fallout a whole lot.
Everyone loves Fallout.
Yeah, because this is almost a week ago, but we didn't get to talk about it on the show because it was, what, Wednesday last week that it
believe so.
The news came out? It's just really interesting because Vault 76 has a lot of really interesting history. It was a control vault, so they didn't do any experiments there. Had about 500 people in it, and it basically was effectively a functional place to live before they got released out into the wasteland. From everything that we've seen previously, it seems like it's set in the DC area again. Don't know how that's going to overlap with previous games, but...
Well, they've also got... I think they said that the vault was in that area, but it's also got John Denver singing about West Virginia.
Yeah.
I know.
In the trailer, so...
So, like, in a very weird topographical point... The, like, modern notion of the D.C. metropolitan area involves part of West Virginia, Virginia, D.C., and I think some of Maryland. So
interesting.
It wouldn't be if I don't know geographically how far apart those aspects are in that area, but theoretically it could maybe span parts of different states.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
I'm interested to see that, but yeah, we don't even think that it's going to be any kind of core game. According to Kotaku, it's online. Something like Rust, like a survival multiplayer game, which I am totally for. I think that makes more sense than a Fallout MMO would.
Mm-hmm. If this is the context of it too, just because if you're, like, in a vault with 500 other people, and I'm sure you're not playing with 500 other people,
that'd be impressive.
I'm sure it would be, but I'm sure there's gonna be some kind of storyline thing of, like, well, half the people died because they got pneumonia when they got out because they're just not used to whatever, you know, atmospheric
super mutants and stuff.
Yeah,
you know? Do we know what the odds of this being a battle royale game are? Like,
it seems unlikely to me, but that's
maybe similar in like feeling, but not necessarily like the actual gameplay component.
Yeah, just because of what's been leaked. But I was thinking about how cool it would be if there was a battle royale game in a vault that is sized for 500 people. Like just in the vault.
It's like a really intense round of hide and seek.
It seems really cool, right?
That would be awesome.
That is what's really curious about it, is the screenshots and the trailer they put up. Do they show much of the outside?
They don't show any of the outside. No. It's just it says it's Reclamation Day, putting on a Pip-Boy. So it seems like they're leaving, but we don't see any of the outside.
Yeah, because the door does open.
Okay.
It does. So we're
I like the touch of 76. Obviously, that's centennial or bicentennial or tricentennial or whatever. But like, it seems like the aesthetic, obviously, Fallout's always very kind of like Cold War era, 1950s. But this feels almost like kind of more 70s.
Well, this one is set before any of the other Fallout games.
I mean, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, sort
aesthetic-wise.
Style-wise.
Yeah, and the music and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely the music.
Yeah.
I was surprised when
it
was a
change of pace
song.
From, which is interesting because it's hard to sort of, you can't really retcon sort of the, like, you can't make like, an 80s Fallout. Like, that doesn't work. I mean, they might eventually at some point, but, like.
I can't picture what that would be.
Because everything is so closely tied to kind of 1950s, technology and, like, that sort of, that style, that sort of, I don't know what you call that, like, I guess Cold War punk or diesel punk, maybe. Like,
yeah, I guess it's possible that a control vault could be more advanced in that they were not people who were tortured or experimented on. They were just people who were just, in theory, just smart collective community working in a vault who could have created their own technologies as well, which could adapt how they are. As
yeah, it's also, it's all made up. They can have fun with it.
You can do whatever they want, really.
screw around.
No cops.
It is a video game.
Yeah,
let's stick
else
to
here. Let's get into the fun part. Let's talk E3 predictions. Now, how this works is we know some stuff, not a lot of stuff. We know. We did our homework. We do our research. But this is our predictions. This is what we think is going to happen. And if you're keeping track at home, it's always fun when somebody pulls a spreadsheet and makes us compete against each other as colleagues. Tina, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I have one that we share. Apparently, we think the show is going to open with Ghost of Tsushima. Right?
Yeah.
You feel good about
that? That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a weird way, the reason why I thought that was going to happen is because it's not their weakest title by any means. I mean, like, there's going to be those, four titles that it's going to have a deep dive into. But I don't imagine you would start with Spider-Man because we've seen enough of it already. And then The Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding feel like too momentous of an occasion to start the show off with.
What if we make it a little hotter? Why don't you, like, literally order them?
Oh, boy.
Ghost of Tsushima first. I think The Last of Us 2 would be the very end.
Yeah.
Either that or Death Stranding. I thought maybe it's kind of a tie in my mind between who would like end off the big presentation, Death Stranding or The Last of Us.
I have Death Stranding as my centerpiece.
Like, yeah.
Sony,
yeah.
I think it's I would right. think Sony has said on record that Last of Us 2 is their centerpiece.
Oh, have they? Yeah.
But
so that ruins our debate.
Centerpiece doesn't necessarily mean that's where it comes sequentially in the show. It may be the final piece. And they've really liked to end conferences with Last of Us demos.
That's right.
I thought they meant centerpieces in like, here's the sort of the coup de grace. Here's the I don't know, the bowl of fruit in the middle of the table.
The one with the most extensive hands-on and maybe like a good presentation on stage.
I expect that too. I don't know.
But for arguing for Ghost of Tsushima, also the fact that's the only one that we don't know what it really looks like. Like, we've gotten a very heavy cinematic trailer. Yeah. I think in the same way that starting, was their PSX conference open with, Lost Legacy?
Lost Legacy.
Uncharted?
Yeah.
We're all looking at it. We're like, we know what Uncharted looks like, but, seeing that in action, we're like, what is it? Is it Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Who is that? Is it Assassin's Creed? And then we're like, oh, it's Uncharted, In this case, I don't know. I feel like you could do almost a similar thing where, these games all have trees in them, probably.
I see what you mean. Like, you think they could open with that and have people questioning what it is, but then as soon as you see something Japanese, you're like, oh, yes.
Also, on like a programming note, since the others are such known quantities versus that, like, if you leave those for later in the show, people will be less likely to tune out if those are not appearing first, because those are coming and how big.
That's why I think The Last of Us being at the end makes sense.
Yeah.
But if they have a lot to show of it, I get why they would want to center that. But like, I'm thinking that Death Stranding is going to be in the middle because I know that there's a certain chunk of that game that a bunch of people have played. So, like, I know that there's about 45 minutes that loads of people have seen. So my logic is, like, we haven't. I don't think anyone in press has. I know, like, devs have. Like, Mark Cerny has. It's all this same chunk. So I'm wondering if that's what's going to be played and if they would do that in the middle. Because I think ending on a gameplay demo seems odd. really know what.
Well, they normally end on like a lot of their reels too, which is one of my lame predictions because that's just a really obvious one. Yeah. There'll be like a PSVR reel and some kind of like indie reel too.
Dubstep.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I bet at the end of Avengers 4, they're going to show the credits. Like, yeah, of course they will. They always show
that's
like
their version. Yeah.
But as far as like,
but they are
actual
really leaning into the PSVR stuff just with the announcements that they made today. And there was that like really weird, creepy VR game that they announced, I think, at the Game Awards, The Inpatient. Do you guys remember
that's
that one?
That's already
that's out.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think because they are announcing stuff ahead of time and because PSVR does demo so horribly on a stage because it's a thing you have to really see for yourself for it to work, I think that, you know, letting people know it's out there, maybe showing their usual kind of sizzle reel of PSVR stuff, I feel like showing like a longer, kind of more drawn out focus on that is just, it's not going to. It's
like a
impress.
Due diligence thing. Just like, here's everything that's happening, and then you can pick out the gems from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's never really been given too much of a stage time.
They do their PSVR reels, though, because like I remember, what was it, maybe 2 years ago, where they just like threw Batman in there, and then it was just like, there was one thing for everyone. Mm-hmm. They just threw a bunch of stuff and a bunch of different properties, and I was like, oh, Batman! And that was like, I don't know, they paced them out in an exciting way.
Okay. It does go by really fast, though. It's like flashes of 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, but so that's our prediction here is show opening with Ghost of Tsushima. We're both.
I think so. I feel like that's like the smart bet. Just in terms of opening. Should I rattle off some more? Or do you want to?
Why don't you keep it up on your side?
I got just one other thing because like every year they have some kind of remaster, so I just assume by nature of that being the typical format, maybe like a Resident Evil 2 for you.
I think that'll happen. Yeah. Well, I have one of those. I always put some ridiculous guesses in. This is my ridiculous guess. The remaster we will get will be Crash Team Racing, but it's going to be a remake. But being worked on by Toys for Bob, which is the part where it's like, probably not going to happen. But you know, they did put, you could remake Crash Team Racing pretty closely in Skylanders Imaginators. Like you could get pretty close to doing that. Crash was in that game. What was it? The previous one. One of the Skylanders games. They all blend together in my mind at this point. And he functioned really well in that game. They recreated a lot of levels really well. And that was all Toys for Bob doing that. So if maybe there could be like some kind of cart system where you would buy a cool cart and then you just adapt it to a Toys to Life game.
I would love a CTR remake. I don't know how big Toys for Bob is as a studio wise, so I don't know how much they could split.
The only
resources.
Thing is, I don't know what they're working on right now.
Oh, well, Spyro.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah, Spyro is them, but I don't know. Like, they may have a small team working on a prototype or something else. Or
I don't think they're working on Skylanders anymore.
I could
they already have the animations and everything for Crash, so.
I could see Sean Layden coming out with like a Crash Team Racing shirt at PSX maybe and being like, yawn, it sure is hot in here, unzips hoodie, and everyone's like, is that a Crash Team Racing shirt? And he'd be like, oh, what do you know? It is.
Same as Medieval. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
He's always
shot.
Doing that.
Well, yeah, like speaking of remakes, I think Medieval 4 PS4 will actually get a proper reveal, like maybe just as a trailer. But I think it will get a reveal and like a release date in the way that they did the Shadow of the Colossus reveal just during the conference. That was unknown completely before that conference, but I could see them finally being like, and here's this thing, and it comes out in February. Or like, I could see this being one of the things they actually give a date to.
The only thing that makes me wonder about that is that, if it's a short thing, but Medieval's a lesser known property.
It is, which
all these other remakes.
It may even be one of those like lead up announcements.
Maybe.
It may be one of that, or it's something they hold for PSX. Just because that reveal of it was so odd, where it was like a 20 second teaser of the logo, and they're like, we're not telling you who's working on it. We don't know like the scale of it. We don't know anything. It just is happening. Yeah. So that exists somewhere in the.
Did they announce it was a remaster? They said in 4K. They didn't say.
They weren't clear what the under. Yeah, they haven't been clear what the undertaking is.
Yeah. Well, we know Bluepoint's working on apparently their biggest project yet. It would be really interesting if they did like a
Crash Team Racing.
Yes, their biggest project ever.
In a collaboration with
Toys
for
Bob. In the Shadow of the Colossus engine, the most realistic bandicoots and cars you could ever see.
It's realistic.
I'd be so
happy.
They're
actual bandicoots.
Yeah. It's really uncomfortable.
Tina, you and I had another one here. First Death Stranding gameplay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I said no release date.
I think no release date,
I agree.
Too. Safe.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can go with one of my. So I don't think there will be a release date for any of the games that we don't have release dates for of the big four. Obviously, we know when Spider-Man's coming out. I think they will give release years for Tsushima, Death Stranding, and Last of Us.
I could see release years for The Last of Us and Tsushima.
One of mine is that I think, and Barrett, who's our producer in the back room, also made a note of his on this. I think Last of Us Part 2 is going to get a window of summer 2019. Yeah. Just a thing on screen, summer 2019.
Yeah.
So you actually, I completely misinterpreted. I think I looked at this when you were still writing it.
Yes.
You wrote release years for Death Stranding, and I was
I meant to finish
it. Oh, crap. What if it's episodic? What if it pops up and it goes 2019 and then it says 2021?
That would be pretty cool. I have a new prediction. Yeah.
Exactly what I meant.
No, I just think in the way that they sort of like gave release years for a lot of games, I think it was in 2016 or so. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they want to showcase these games so much, like they have held off of putting release dates in most conferences now. Like they like to do that just on the PlayStation blog these days.
It's a good point.
Yeah, because you can't delay something if no one knows when it's coming out.
Yeah,
I was going to say that I thought Days Gone might get a release date during the conference. Like I think they're very close to announcing that, but you might be right. Yeah. Why do it at E3?
I'm really surprised at how much they haven't mentioned this at all. Days Gone. Yeah, it's
well. They did say that I think it was the end of last month. They said that a release date was coming very soon.
It's they told Game Informer during their coverage that they were definitely releasing early 2019, and they said that it was before The Last of Us Part 2 was releasing. Mm-hmm. So there is a window there.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Which is why I think that they have a plan. I would guess maybe February or March, but a lot of people are trying to get in the financial year as well. So that's probably a factor in all of the early releases we're getting next year.
All right, so I have a real softball one here. Spyro Reignited shows off some gameplay and announces an additional playable character.
Who is it?
Drobot from the Skylanders. Or, no, I don't know, someone, maybe Crash.
They do
just
have...
Just to be on theme.
They do have lots of dragon-like Skylanders.
Yeah, I feel like it would have to be someone in the way that, like, Crash, that insane trilogy, had Coco as another playable character, but she functionally played exactly the same as Crash, like, to the point where her animations and everything worked the same, so it didn't tweak... They didn't have to tweak the gameplay really.
What if it's just, like, Crash with a flamethrower?
And he like runs around on all
Crash
fours.
But a dragon?
He Crash but
well, he's got to be able to fly, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
He has to glide.
He's got like a jetpack or whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know Spyro characters well enough to be like, Spyro's cousin, Tony, or something. Like, I don't know, whoever that
Tony
is.
Tony the dragon.
Most natural name.
But yeah, so that was, I think we're absolutely going to see that. Yeah.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Let's see. Alana, you have a good one right here at the bottom.
Yeah, this is my last one, which I think is... You know, like a 50-50, that Horizon Zero Dawn gets a VR tie-in. I don't know what it is, but we don't know what that studio is working on right now, and I think it's probably not Killzone. Maybe they could be in production for Horizon 2, but I think that's so far away that there's no way they'd show it. I don't think we're getting any more DLC because we already had a lot. Frozen Wilds wasn't even that long ago.
Could that be the eagerly anticipated game comes to PSVR on Sunday, June 10th, 8 a.m. PT?
I don't think that it will be the whole game, though. I think that it would be like a different version.
Some kind of like truncated, yeah.
Like exist in a certain area, like maybe that hub, one of the hub
that's
cities.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I think it would be crazy for, like, because who knows how far out Horizon 2 is, Horizon 1 Dawn. Who knows, like, when that'll come.
Horizon
1 Dawn. You would figure, though, with how big it was that they would want to capitalize on that and, like, the interim time, at least have something come out in that universe.
Yeah, and not just DLC. That, like, it's something that maybe that studio, I don't know how different it is to develop for VR versus a standard PS4 game. Like, I don't know how that works.
Even just as sort of, like, helping kind of reestablish that brand as, like, a big Sony IP. Yeah. Just be like, hey, Aloy? Yeah.
Well, I figured that PlayStation themselves are like, Sony would go to them and be like, hey, we want you to make this. We'll give you the budget to make it. So I can see it making sense from a business perspective, both to help PSVR and to further cement Aloy as an icon of the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we got that, like, Last Guardian
VR
kind of thing. That makes sense.
It's also a gorgeous world. It would look awesome to just, like, look up kind of Jurassic Park.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If they did it like a... Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You know how there's that part in that movie where he jumps into the suitcase and it's just like a gallery of all the animals? I would have loved that in VR, and have something like that in Horizon Zero Dawn, just like more of a park version where you can just look at all the things and not fight them. It's like, I really like that.
Can you imagine fighting though in VR? Like, what would you have to do? Get motion controllers and like...
Well, she does all the rolling
that
and everything.
Like, crouch down a lot.
Great, yeah.
Have amazing abs though.
Good workout.
Dorno, you got a really good one right here at the top.
Top one. Kingdom Hearts 3's release date will be announced.
I don't know. I think that's kind of out there.
Yeah, it's far fetched.
I don't think that's no.
Well, I think
it's on a wish list, Jonathan.
I mean, it is, but I think it will specifically be announced at the PlayStation conference. There's either the Square Enix stream that's happening, but I think the PlayStation conference is such a big. It's a bigger platform. They revealed Kingdom Hearts 3 at the PlayStation conference a few years back.
Sure, like, they'd pay for that too.
Yeah.
PlayStation wants that.
It's been such a big part of like the PlayStation ecosystem for years, and especially with that original reveal and everything being there. The franchise director Tetsuya Nomura last month at the pre-E3 event told us that they were going to announce the release date sometime in the next month, so June. They were just nailing it down.
That'd be real weird if it was like, that's the one email that gets sent out the day after E3. It's like, here it is.
By the way, the only other place that would be an interesting point for it would be the Kingdom Hearts Orchestra event, which takes place the Saturday before E3.
I don't see them doing that.
The only thing with that would be it's a fan event, and that's where they debuted their trailer last year because they didn't have an E3 presence, but it's going to be at E3 this year. You can play the game there. So I think they'd want to do it on as big a stage as possible.
You played it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that game is close to coming out?
I was surprised at how fully realized it felt.
Polished.
Yeah. Clearly it was a vertical slice demo because the treasures you can find and everything weren't as plentiful as I'd expect them to be. And you also couldn't go into any menu. So I have no idea what the RPG mechanics of that game look like now. But it played really well. The sound design, the art, everything looked pretty near finish. So
As demonstrated by Final Fantasy XV, you can ship an unfinished massive square RPG and just kind of keep adding to it.
We could have episodes.
Hey, we heard you guys all hated the Monsters Inc. level. Great news, we patched it.
It's now Moana.
Yeah.
Don't ask how we swap that. It's now Moana.
Same assets.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But no, seriously, I think at this point they're probably like, get this game out, ship it.
Well, it seems like they know it's pretty near ready, and I imagine it'll probably be sometime in October. It may be foolish enough to go the same day as Red Dead.
I could see them doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think fans who want to play that game will play that game.
Yes.
Immediately.
No matter when it comes out.
So.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think it does make sense for that to be on PlayStation stage because it is on, the game is coming out on Xbox One as well.
Yes.
What did you play it on at the preview?
I played it on both, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to play the demo on both.
So that means they didn't have a deal previously. Like at the Shadow of the Tomb Raider event that I went to, it was all on Xbox One X, confirming basically that it's going to be on their stage.
Yeah. So for us, no, it was on both systems. It's very interesting because you still can't play any other Kingdom Hearts game on the Xbox One or 360 backward compatible. There's nothing you can do to play them, but they obviously have that collection going on.
So. I mean, we hear a lot of stories about people who bought PlayStation 3 specifically for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Same thing happened with Zelda and Wii U. It was supposed to be Zelda Wii U. Never came out.
Yeah.
Well,
came out at the end.
It did. Yeah.
Now let's see. Moving on. Man, Tina, you really just kind of dozed off at the end here. What's that?
What? Oh no, that was tied to something else. It's no longer relevant. Okay. But I just put a lot of question marks.
I love you have maybe some kind of remaster.
Maybe
I do most weeks.
Is there a remaster specifically that you would like?
I mean, not off the top of my head, but it just seems to be such a typical thing for them to do that it's why not?
Yeah,
feel safe. And I don't think they're definitely not going to have any hardware announcements. But do you guys think because of that whole the PS4s at the end of its life cycle comment thing that happened a couple weeks ago, do you think they're going to do any saving face comments of the PS4 Pro is doing really well and sales are really high?
Probably.
Yeah. Based on how much of a physical presence people have on the stage, because last year was virtually none. But I would totally see them coming out either at the beginning or in the middle to talk about how healthy the PlayStation 4 is, especially because those comments were taken so out of context of what that call was and what it was referring to in large. So I could see them wanting to try to save face with fans. My PS4 is going to be out of date in 2 years. So
I could see them. I don't think they're going to do anything with sales numbers or with those old charts that they did a few years ago. But I think someone coming out and being we are here to celebrate the PlayStation community or whatever, and then be like, we've got all these, we've got great games for the PlayStation 4 coming out, and everyone cheers, and it's here's some of these games, and they're gonna do that thing at the end of it, and you can play it this fall on your PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro. And then everyone's yay.
These things exist, they're getting support, et cetera.
Just to really just hammer that home. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we have any other ones here? What are we missing?
I got some from Barrett.
I had one.
I like this last one.
I don't think we're going to see Cyberpunk 2077 on Sony's stage. I think that's going to be in Microsoft's showcase. I believe Witcher 3 was in Microsoft's. And that's also...
I think you're right, but I don't remember.
I mean, and it's the hardware company pays for this. The first party is the one who's booking this stuff. And I think unless the studio's hey, we're going to go after that. And Cyberpunk is one of the most, desperately anticipated games. And I can see Microsoft being come here. Come on, CD Projekt, we need this. Come on, let's go. And I'm not saying that to fan the flames of, console fanboys, but that's, I don't know, if you're trying to get someone's attention, where do you play this hot new game,
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Makes sense. The only other small one I have is maybe going off the back of CTR. There will be a new proper Crash Bandicoot game revealed. Because there were some comments that implied there are new Crash games coming starting in 2019 and beyond.
Toys for Bob.
Toys for Bob is making all of these games. But no, just to see something about that, because Crash is now, obviously it's multi-platform, but it's so synonymous with PlayStation, and especially with the Crash Insane Trilogy going multi-platform this year, and that being, that may be in the Nintendo Direct, it may be on Xbox a little bit, to still have Crash be prominent in the PlayStation community's mind.
I don't know if they'll do that yet.
Yeah, it could be next year.
Yeah.
But I
do think it'll happen.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to do that somewhere down the line.
It was interesting when I was at VidCon, we just like these silly little packages where we were walking around asking people what game they were most excited about last year, and majority of people said Crash. Like, out of nowhere. And there were loads of great games that came out last year, and most people said Crash. I was like,
because there are dozens of us.
Predicted that.
Dozens.
But they're all young, right?
That's the VidCon audience is a young.
Yeah.
I mean, 15-year-olds being like, Crash. I'm like, what?
That's
what?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. What? Did you play those games? Like, maybe they're just like, it's like such a thing that everyone knows who Crash is, and they were excited to be able to
the Netflix
play?
Skylander show on which he
probably
cameoed,
really. Did he really?
With like, I think an Aussie accent.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that at all.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not
cool. And then, of course, Barrett, our wonderful producer.
Hey, Barrett.
He has some wacky predictions, which we'll get right into right here. Barrett predicts that Spider-Man will open the conference and it will tease Hobgoblin. Barrett's really excited about this one because
no one else has comments. We're all like, interesting.
He loves Hobgoblin.
Well, wasn't he saying that the logic is, you can jump in if you want to, Barrett, that the logic was something to do with Spider-Man's too old for it to be Green Goblin?
He's 23.
Yeah.
He's too old.
He's way past old. His prime.
Have a goblin. It's got to be a Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Well, they've confirmed that Norman Osborn's in there. He's shown up in like screenshots and stuff. I don't know why.
I like how we're just talking crap about Barrett. Barrett, like, he doesn't work hard on
this
show.
Face, dude. I don't know. Like, why would...
Okay, oh, no. He's coming to the studio. Okay. Oh, no.
The reasoning is because typically with, like, the comic stories and whatnot... Sorry, the camera in the producer room is off, so I couldn't get on there. But the reasoning is that in the comics, Green Goblin is usually synonymous with, like, the very early Spider-Man career.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it would... If you're 7 years into Spidey's career, I feel like... They might go the Harry Osborn route.
Like, you're assuming Green Goblin has been like a part of his origin story because he always has.
Yeah.
I understand that logic.
All right.
But why
go back
to
the producer room?
All right. You can run back real soon when we go to your next prediction here. He also predicted The Last of Us Part 2 will get a release window of summer 2019.
That was mine as well, yeah.
Yeah, which is...
The next one, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah.
PlayStation now gets reworked into a system more akin to Xbox's backwards compatibility. You can actually purchase and download PS2/PS3 games instead of renting.
I would love
streaming.
That.
So would I.
Yeah.
Don't think they'll do it.
Mm.
What they have now is working just fine for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that so much of that is just a hardware problem. You know, because the PS3 was such a huge departure from what is under the hood with every other, you know.
Yeah.
Like, side note,
you can run an emulator, though. Like, that's how Xbox does it. Like, they can do it.
True, yeah.
I think it's just the system is not tremendously profitable.
Yeah.
Don't think backwards compatibility nets Microsoft that much.
I mean, they spent so much money on Gaikai all those years ago. Like, I could see them wanting to be like, we got to make this cloud stuff happen. It's just,
it would be really, really nice if they did. And PlayStation now doesn't get talked about a lot either.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like there's a lot of hype around it. For them to rework that system would make sense. I don't think that they just make it as simple as, like, you can now just get everything. But maybe they will do, like, a select system like they've been doing with the Xbox One X and the original Xbox games or something like that.
I would love it, though, but just not being able to go back and play PS3 games without either a PS Now subscription or plugging in your PS3. It was like, I played Ni No Kuni 2. I'd never played the first game and wanted to go back. It's like, I need to find my PS3, bring that out, find a copy of Ni No Kuni. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get ahead of Rage 2. I downloaded like Rage on my Xbox and just, I was like, oh, this works. Like, this is such a weird novelty to be like, here's a thing that I can do. I can just download this. And I mean, we sort of have
that with
like,
Psychonauts like 3 weeks ago. It was just like, I'm just gonna play Psychonauts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Download it on my Xbox.
They have that PS4 like re-released version of Psychonauts you can download on PS4. Like, that's how I've played it. And they have a few PS2 games like that, but not PS3 and obviously not the full catalog.
I didn't know Psychonauts was on PS4.
Yeah. I got it.
Anyway, just an example of just like, generally these things are easy.
Yes.
And
it's
a thing that like, I think all consumers want. I just don't know that it's a great business move. And we obviously know that Sony Interactive is putting a lot of their money into exclusives and funding exclusives. And it's like, maybe we get exclusives instead of getting backwards compatible. And most people would prefer the new exclusives. So I get it. But
from a PR perspective, too, it's kind of like following suit with Microsoft, you know, with backwards compatibility. So maybe from that perspective, they don't want to feel like they're borrowing from this genius idea, especially if it's not going to end up being super profitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that Microsoft's really like they understand that they're not in the lead here, and they're pretty much basically like playing to their loyal community, which is really cool. But I mean, at the same time, PlayStation doesn't need to do that because they are, you know, in number one spot.
I think if they announced it, like I remember when Microsoft announced backwards compatibility at their press conference, and I like screamed. I was like, yeah. "Oh my god!" If PlayStation did it, I'd be like, "Cool."
Yeah,
because I mean, it doesn't mean.
I could also see it being a PSX announcement because it is a more fan base focused announcement. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, like I don't think it would be that profitable move for them in the same way that it is somewhat maybe for Xbox.
Yeah, but I would like to see how they are evolving PlayStation Now as a service. Yeah. Regardless.
Yeah, I'm excited for the day that PlayStation Now is PlayStation Then. I don't know, I just wanted to say that. I really just like downloading stuff. I don't like streaming things as much. Like I'll straight up like I feel like there's something just sort of ephemeral about it. Like it's very temporary. And there's that feeling of like if it's like on Netflix or something, I'm less likely to sit through it and watch it than if I like physically put a disc in and I'm like, all right, here we go. You know,
you're more committed at that point.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it'd be really cool whenever the PlayStation 5 comes out, if they're like, hey, this plays every PlayStation game. We just got to upload them all to the store.
Cool.
Barrett's final prediction, which I'm really not, I don't know how I feel about this one. Can't prove him wrong. He says, Kojima walks on stage, yells, Death Stranding is a dating sim, and then disappears into a cloud of smoke. Oh, and Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen are his hype men in the background and are b-boying.
And we have photo evidence.
Great job.
Damn it, Barrett.
Okay, Barrett.
Oh, why are you like this?
I mean, Kojima's done some pretty... He came out, the floor lit up, and he was wearing like a diamond-studded like Koji Pro shirt or something.
Yeah, he did like the Michael Jackson sidewalk thing.
There's a lot of bedazzled clothing.
I feel like there's probably elements to this that could happen. Like, Kojima will be there. For instance,
mm-hmm. that Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen might be.
Exactly. There's some truth to that one. Although I don't think that he'll just shout. If it is a dating sim, it could be. We don't know. But if it is a dating sim, I don't think he'll just shout it and run off.
Why?
Because it's one of the primary games. So we have to see like an actual session in
what
which
if
they
he
go
yells
and
it?
Romance. You know, weird aliens.
Del Toro.
Or,
you could romance Del Toro.
Yeah.
I mean, he said specifically that it's an action game and it's an open world game, and then it's also
dating is an action.
It's also a game that doesn't have it's a genre that doesn't have a name yet, you know, in the same way that when he made Metal Gear, like stealth wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
yet.
I think he said it's action stealth. That's what they were planning on.
I mean, he said he can do kind of
you can date in action. Stealthily dating is a thing.
Keep it on the down low. You don't post to social media.
I mean, he does say
I don't think
like
that would happen
because
games
sort of
don't really allow for infidelity, if you've noted, or at least not typically in a lot of romance scenarios.
It is a game about making connections. You know, there's all the ropes, the tubes connecting everything, the Death Stranding. Like, are you supposed to sort of like connect with other players?
I would love that, like, if like there was like an NPR like segment about people analyzing Death Stranding trailers. Like, what do you think that they would say? Like, people who don't know anything about video games, like an IGN PR,
like. I've like done my research on them, and I can talk about them, and they make no sense. You talk about them, and like you try to be serious. And
baby is Norman Reedus.
The tank's symbol.
I'm planting my flag in that theory.
Stranding is a thing that the whales do, and we realize that people do that in the games as well. And we're trying to. Kobo Abe wrote a short story about the rope and the stick, and how the man uses the stick to push things away, and the rope to draw things closer together.
The dictionary defines
whatever it is. I love it.
Yeah. But
I really
gamer.
Do think the baby is Norman Reedus, and that they all have to protect him because he in the future is going to do something very important.
All right. It's like a Benjamin Button version of Norman Reedus, and he's going to slowly
two
grow
of him.
Into him.
Every time you die, you get younger, and if you get really, if you
you die in the game, you die in real life.
Yeah. Anyway, Death Stranding. Really excited to find out what the hell that game is about.
What game are you guys most excited to see?
I think that's
of all of them. Like even if it's not PlayStation, you got to be pretty excited about Cyberpunk.
I'm not even thinking about that. For context about Cyberpunk, when I went and saw my first gameplay demo of The Witcher 3, they had that Cyberpunk gun on display as a prop, and they had just revealed the logo. I think they'd maybe shown the trailer, but I was like, oh, do you have anything to show for that? And they were like, no. Do you want Polish beer? And I was like, I guess.
Okay.
But like
that was
the first time seeing The Witcher 3. And I was like, wow, this looks really cool. Can I see Cyberpunk? And they're like, no, play The Witcher. And I was like, okay, fine. And now I'm like, you know, here we are like, what, 3 years past The Witcher? And it's like, finally. I don't know if it was some deal where you have to have more than one game on display to get a thing at E3, or if they were just like, well, we're paying for the booth. Might as well put up a sign.
That seems like the more likely option. I think that they would do that.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see gameplay of that, like specifically Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm really, really excited about. Yeah. I want to know how that gameplay is, and I really don't want to be let down, but I'm worried that I am. And then it would be Death Stranding. I don't even care about seeing more of Last of Us that much because I'm like, I know I'm going to play it. I'm already sold on it. You don't even need to show it to me. I'm already buying it.
I really want to see Ghost out of everything at this conference. And like in general, it's one of the ones I'm most interested in just because we don't know anything really about how it will play. Mm-hmm. And but like I love Sucker Punch and so much. They've nailed so much gameplay in the past that I've loved with Infamous and Sly. Yeah. So I want to see what their next evolution is.
Yeah, I think I'm most excited for Ghost of Tsushima. Just I also just really like the historical elements of it. It sounds like they're putting in some interesting research into it. And yeah, the gameplay should be cool. Like there was that one scene where you jump over a horse and then like clock someone in the head with your foot. Whatever it was looked beautiful. Really cool. Yeah, really beautiful. But the one I'm most curious about is actually The Last of Us because I'll play it too.
Yeah.
But I really want to know where they're going to take it
and
what they're going to change if like most of the gameplay elements are going to be the same.
Who's the playable character?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm
what's
just,
the dog's
I'm just curious.
Role?
Yeah.
Is
and
it
the stranding
because
what the hell is it? Yeah.
That would be really actually pretty funny if they were like, yeah, that first teaser with Ellie playing guitar, that's a playable music scene.
Yeah.
You just gotta do like a rhythm.
It's a rhythm game all of a sudden.
It's really slow. It's not that hard.
Plug in your Guitar Hero 2 Explorer strat.
Okay, so we have Death Stranding, Dating Sim, and The Last of Us rhythm game.
Perfect.
Yeah. What should Spider-Man have as a secret genre minigame?
Copy editing?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like Papers, Please.
Or a photography game.
Doesn't have photo mode.
It would have Pokemon Snap inside.
Pokemon Snap, I love it.
What if Spider-Man Snap?
I mean, we've seen photo mode in so many first-party Sony games, and it's always awesome, but what if a game where you're actually playing as a photographer?
Well, like Dead Rising.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm just thinking like...
Frank West
like
pulling out his camera.
Yeah, I just kind of got caught. I'm thinking like, what if you have to set your camera down and then...
Take photos of yourself.
I would love that. Mode.
Like you do the whole Spider-Man.
That would be
like,
cool.
That'd be so cool.
I've started reading old Spider-Man comics.
You gotta go haggle with Jameson.
He does that with all of the villains at the start. It's just like it's very obvious. He's like, I need to go take this photo of Lizard, but first I'll set it on this mantle.
So hard. It would not work at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd love that actually.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I just like photo modes in like in the first Beyond Good and Evil as well. I just really like photo mechanics in games. They're a lot of fun.
It's perfect for Spider-Man because it's just already a super goofy setting and character. So yeah, why not? Better than like Kratos smiling for the camera.
I think it's endearing.
Great.
I also really just want a release date for Dreams, and I want to know where Wild is.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Wild.
Where's Wild?
Yeah. Do you want to know about Beyond Good and Evil? Or do you want to know about Wild? You get one.
Beyond Good and Evil.
So much for that.
That would be the one that wins.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all the stuff we're looking forward to. We're clearly there's a lot to keep track of, and man, I am. It's coming together. I think it's happening. I think it's E3 is here and the hype is kicking in and it's. I just really want to find out why those crabs are all dead in that sad man's game. What the hell?
What if it's bad?
Oh boy, I hope it's not. Well, anyway. Real quick, we got some new PlayStation Plus games for June. It's XCOM 2 and Trials Fusion. So if you like creating very realistic alien fighting avatars of your friends and then being sad when they die, or Funny Bikes, those are good games for that.
I like both those games.
Funny Bikes, and then Zombie Driver HD and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier, now available for PS3 for PlayStation Plus subscribers, and then Atomic Ninjas and Squares for PlayStation Vita. Long live the Vita.
Why'd you laugh at that?
Didn't they announce not that long ago that they won't be games on Vita for that much longer?
So physical releases won't be happening anymore. Right. They're like cutting that off later this summer that you can apply for those, but digital games can still release.
Okay.
You meant for PS Plus, though.
Either.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to start to downward trend.
Phase them out, yeah.
Poor little Vita.
I know.
Also, I would play the hell out of a game called Funny Bikes.
Funny Bikes,
yeah, that's basically the whole Trials franchise.
Yeah.
Pretty much what Trials is. What if you have to play as two wheels separately?
Trials,
could go
Funny
wrong.
Bikes.
All right, and let's see. What is that? Okay, I'm sorry. Barrett wrote these notes in here, and I didn't read them. So anyway, you can watch you can watch this show in lots of places. There's all kinds of places to watch it, such as IGN.com/watch/beyond or YouTube.com/IGNBeyond, as well as podcast services.
In caps.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that like a person's name? Podcast services? Anyway, make sure you got notifications on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. And we'll all be at E3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. When is our press conference starting?
I don't know.
Let me look up our pre-show.
You're going to look it up right now? You want to just vamp for a little bit? You can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Alana's Charlanazard. Tina, what are you?
Just Tina Amini.
Tina
Super
Amini.
Boring, yeah.
And then Jonathan is J.M. Dornbush.
Yeah, even more boring. I didn't even put my first name in there.
Currently planned, we are live at 5:30 p.m. PT for Sony's press conference.
PT?
Specific time. Oh, PT. PT. Yeah. Oh, Silent Hills. Oh, no.
No, I mean, just we'll have the full schedule up on IGN, but keep an eye on that and you know, follow us all on Twitter for witty hot takes that people then
come say hi if you're there. We're not doing community meetup this year, I don't think.
No.
But, I mean, we're all working until midnight every night, so.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but please do come say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we're all zoned so cool. out all the time,
yeah,
you
if
know
we look
why.
Depressed, that's yeah. it's such an exciting week, but it is like
draining in a way.
Just even thinking about it, I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
On that note, thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you all for coming on and talking about the predictions and the crabs and the dragon and the bandicoot and the samurai, all of the wonderful parts
of
the
games.
Our
best friends.
And on that note, beyond.
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 Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.